It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Daniel, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Yes, I was just wondering, I've been noticing that a lot of problems with people getting harassed by these cell phones. But don't you think that's abusing the power of God by using the man's doing, by using these cell phones to harass and attack people with? And I went to church and I thought they were praying, but they're really texting to people on their cell phones about whatever they look like and how bad, I don't know, it's just nonsense. I mean, what do you think about that, man abusing the power of God through their technology?
Well, I don't know if it's abusing the power of God through the technology. I think they're abusing the technology. I think they're ignoring God sometimes because of technology. But technology is not bad unto itself. There's nothing wrong with technology on its own. Scripture is filled with talking of building and creating. But there are also scriptures that say, you know, beware of making technology of any kind more important than the people behind it. Isaiah 10:15 talks about the axe. Should the axe boast over him who hews it, or the saw magnify itself against he who wields it? Now, of course, this is talking about the creation of God, making themselves God. But also there's a good analogy or illustration here that shows that the things made by man are not more important than man and should never be more important than man, because mankind is the one that created them. And if people get lost in the technology, Daniel, absolutely. If it's distracting, absolutely. Technology becomes a problem because of how it's used. But on its own, no. Technology is a thing of beauty and helps many people out. Beth, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Well, 20 years ago this week, my husband and daughter and I lost our son. He was our last born. He had gone to a rave. He knew better. It was a bad decision on a bad night.
Mm.
At any rate, he was missing for 3 days. It was a Saturday night. Sunday, he never showed up. Late Sunday night, we got a call. We were vacationing in Oregon. Late Sunday night, we drove home. Monday, we got to the desert, and the policeman in charge, or the detective in charge of the case, had informed us that they were no longer going to be involved. We were basically on our own. Fortunately for us, 2 years prior to that, the Lord had called all of us to the foot of his cross, and I'm so grateful for that. So we were all saved. Let me get to my point.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks after his death, I was devastated. It was hard for me to even breathe. I was just devastated.
Of course.
So I said to my husband, you know, I'm going to go to rent 4 of my favorite movies, and if for 5 minutes I can forget that he's gone, then I can catch my breath and move on. So he wanted to go with me, but I had an intense desire to be alone, so I drove. And when I pulled my car into the parking spot, I looked up, and standing right in front of my car was a very nice-looking young man, soft brown curly hair, olive skin, brown eyes, wearing khaki pants and a Madras type of shirt. He almost glowed. And sitting on his finger was a sparrow. So I became entranced with this, wondering what he was doing there. So I got out of my car, walked up to him, and said to him, "Why are you standing here with this sparrow on your finger?" And the only words he spoke to me were, "I think something is wrong with one of its wings." So I proceeded to fold one wing out in the palm of my hand and brushed over it with my other to see if I could feel a broken wing. I did this to both of the wings, and there was nothing wrong with them. And I started to pet this little bird from the top of its head all the way down its back and off of its tail. And then I finally said to this young man, with tears streaming down my face, because I knew it was significant, but at the time I just couldn't figure it out, and I said, there's something wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with this little bird. And as soon as I had said that there was nothing wrong with it, it flew away. He and I turned shoulder to shoulder. We walked into Blockbuster. He opened the door. I passed in front of him into the store, turned around to say to him that he would never understand how that moment meant so much to me and how overcome I was by it, but he was gone. And I became panic-stricken, and I couldn't understand how someone could be there one moment and gone the next. Here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a message from you telling me that my son's soul has been captured and that I never again have to worry about him? Because that's what I got out of that. What do you think that meant?
There is nothing at all that you described that is contradictory with scripture. So you have to take that for what you will. You have to put that in your heart, and you were the only one that experienced it for whatever purpose. And the description that you gave does not contradict, which is the first rule always, to see it when people say, oh, they had saw a manifestation, or they connected with a spirit or with an angel or any of those things. If it contradicts scripture in some way, then you toss it out. But there's nothing that contradicts scripture in there. It was a moment for you that seems powerful and still affects you to this day. And
it truly has been the pathway to heal. I will always miss my son.
Of course.
Any mother that has lost a child knows exactly how much of ourselves we lose through their death. But in the same breath, I have to say that even in losing my son, I suppose there is a piece of me that can honestly thank you, Jesus, because you've cemented my faith. And even more important than that, you have captured the soul of my son. And for any parent that's ever lost a child, that becomes the most important thing. Where is their soul? And if you don't capture it, then that is cause for true mourning. My sorrow is such that I will always miss him. I'm grateful that I was blessed to have him as my son. He was a wonderful young man, and his memory is such that when I think of him today, 20 years later, I can honor him by smiling and not crying. And I just want to say to any parent out there that's raising a child, please bring your children to the foot of the cross, because we don't know from day to day what's going to happen. We can wake up any given morning and a tragedy can befold itself right in front of our eyes. But if their soul has been captured and saved by you, we do have nothing to fear. And I'm grateful for that more than words will ever express. So I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that.
There is absolutely nothing that I could add that would make that any more perfect, Beth. Glenn, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Is this for Glenn?
It sure is. How can I help you, Glenn?
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'll try to be very quick. I'm a Christian senior, and I've got four amazing children. One of my children is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned, God has answered many prayers that I've had to change me about a lot of things. I I'm asking, eventually I think my child is going to ask me to participate in a marriage union with my child's mate. And even though I've learned to become acceptant of gay lifestyle,
good.
I don't totally approve of it because of my Christian belief that God made man and woman separate. And I'm asking for guidance in the event when that does happen, that I'm asked to participate, even though I don't agree with the union, but I love my child.
Well, then you love them. You be a dad. You honor, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that want to dig their heels in politically, not religiously, but politically with stuff like this. The fact is, it's your son, and you love him. And if he's in love, and it's with consenting adults, you're and it's legal, you're going to love him and be a part of it and celebrate his joy. Otherwise, you will hate yourself.
Yes.
You will feel that for the rest of your life. You will feel that you abandoned. I don't know what it is. I realize that it is. There's a lot going on. Christianity still needs to grow in this area and understand truly what's taking place. There's a lot of misunderstanding about scripture and different things. And then there's a lot of things that the gay community must understand about Christianity that they've believed to be true that's not true as well. And there's a, you know, they need to come together, but there's, you're a parent. There's a lot of things you are. You have a job, you'll be a husband, you'll be a father, you'll do many different things. You're an American. Now, being an American is different than being a Christian, right? The United States is directed by the Constitution. Now, a lot of Christians would love to believe that the United States is directed by the Bible, but it's not. It's directed by the Constitution of the United States. The Christian is directed by the Bible. And that is how you live your life, to keep things in your life focused and to have your faith. And that's how you express your faith. Now, your boy, as a gay man, is asking his dad to you know, or potentially asking his father to be a part of this. And that's going to be a tough thing for him to ask, knowing that. But you love him, and you're going to support him. He's not going to do something. And this is where the debate goes. I realize a lot of people are going to want to throw their two cents in. But it's not like he's saying, I'm going to, you know, sacrifice a baby. Will you hold them down? This is someone saying, I love this person and I love you and I want you to be a part of this love. And I think that's a powerful thing. And I think it's something that if you didn't participate, you'd hate yourself for the rest of your life.
Thank you. Yes, sir. And I love you. Thank you very much.
What a wonderful thing. And Glenn, I appreciate your call. You know, go and be a good father, be a good Christian by loving your family through and through. That unconditional love and connection with your kids. And God bless you for calling and taking the time to ask and having an open heart to all of that. Janet, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Okay, so it's a little bit difficult to define. I'm hoping you know about this, but like the New Age movement.
Sure.
I'm wondering your thoughts on that. You know, they talk sort of about the universe. They don't really talk about God. They talk about the energies. They talk about angels and masters. And of course, they just kind of omit any kind of anything about Christ or.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Christianity. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so, you know, I know a lot of people that are into this, and I just wonder what, you know, your thoughts are. Is it, like, cult, or is it, you know?
Yeah, it does fall into, the New Age falls into the occult and things like that. It really is, there's different forms of it, but it's incompatible with Christianity. There's no, you know, God is an impersonal force.
So should we be separate from them, or is it?
I mean, separate from, if that's their belief, that's their belief. The key is for Christians not to get wrapped up into it. There are people that don't believe in Christianity, and that's their decision. Christians shouldn't dabble with it. But if somebody wants to get wrapped up into it, that's their own, really what it comes down to is lack of desire to be accountable or to have discipline. That's all. People don't want the discipline or the accountability of mainstream faith. So they pick something that's a little more, they say it's spiritual. And whenever you hear someone say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. My producer, Neil, he doesn't use spiritual. He says faithful. He's faithful because religious is like doing the exact same thing over and over. But
and they don't recognize sin at all.
No. So evil doesn't exist. It's defined as ignorance, mostly, which is interesting because there are such thing as evil spirits, but there's not sin the way you would think. There was, people see sin as being this big theological term, but really the word sin translates, or when you read it as sin in scripture, it's translations from a handful of words that mean missing the mark. There's a mark in which you're supposed to hit in life or in whatever you're doing. And if you miss that mark, it's a sin. But they attribute that only to Christianity for the most part. And so they try and really separate themselves. But the true problem with the New Age movement is that it's really about a glorification of self. Everything is wrapped up in self. Humanity is basically good. They inherit the divine. They're part of God. All these things. And it makes it about the person. It's actually what is interesting about Christianity. Christianity is the only belief system that isn't about the person. There's nothing you can do specifically that changes Christianity. Christianity is about God and about God loving mankind so much that he created a bridge for mankind to connect with God again because mankind continues to separate themselves from God. Now, when you get into the New Age movement, it's really about becoming godlike or becoming God-ish or having the Christ consciousness. It's all about self. It's about controlling the things around you. And anytime someone starts to try and control the things around them, whether it's with psychics, whether it's with crystals, whether it's with any of those things, then it stops being about God and starts being about yourself, and that becomes a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's helpful.
Well, I hope so. And if you are out there in an area where there's a lot of people that believe in that and it surrounds you, I know it can be sort of intoxicating. It's sexy, it has a little sex appeal to it. But you need to protect yourself because it can be quite overwhelming. That's for sure. Quite overwhelming indeed. Donna, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi, Jesus.
Hi, Donna.
First, I want to tell you that I love you very much.
Well, at the risk of sounding cliche, I love you too.
And I want to tell you that I've talked to you before and that I'm terminally ill, and but that's not the reason that I called. In my terminal illness for the last couple of years, I have been asking you, how can I serve you? Being ill, how can I serve you? And all of a sudden, I happened upon a website that had something to do with my illness, and it had a community. And I went into that community, and I realized what you wanted from me was for me to intercede, intercessory prayer.
Okay.
And I've been interceding, praying, humbly coming before the throne, humbly, for a little girl that's 6 years old. And this little girl had a normal life, very vivacious, could read, could talk, walk, was perfect. She a rare illness called Bevay syndrome, where this little child is having 150 or more seizures a day. And these seizures are coming from all over in her brain. And so the doctors can't seem to stop them. She wears a monitor. It's caused her family financial ruin, and they don't have insurance anymore, so they're, you know, on Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal doesn't provide the things that she needs for her safety, including a service dog or a helmet for her head or what's needed in the bathtub for her to not get hurt. She sleeps between her parents at night, and she wears a monitor, and on the monitor it tells the family how many seizures she's had. And on a good day, she may have 72 seizures. On a bad day, she has over 150 seizures. Now, I've been going online twice a day, and I've been interceding for her for months now. And I have prayed so hard whenever there is any turmoil in my life or any kind of feelings about anybody that aren't right. I know that I have to have that cleared up before I can come to you with the purest heart I
can. In the proper spirit. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought right there because I want to hear more when we return. Donna, are you still with us?
Yes.
So you have the full attention of our hearts.
Okay, because this little girl has stolen my heart. And
I can see why.
Yeah. And, you know,
you're in great prayer. You feel led to intercede on behalf of others. Yourself in a terminal illness.
And I don't pray for myself. I pray for her.
And that's wonderful. That's very selfless, and I'm sure there are many that are praying for you.
I appreciate those prayers as well.
So you've focused your energies, your spiritual energies on praying for this young girl.
And who has, for anyone that comes on the site and asks me to pray.
Okay, and in her case, she's dealing with multiple seizures.
Yes, so many so that, she's on Medi-Cal, and they're not giving her the things that she needs to be safe. And she's, when she has these seizures, you know, she has grand mal seizures, so she does a lot of thrashing around. And, you know, she'll look in the mirror and see that she has two black eyes, and she doesn't know how her eyes got like that because she's not aware of what's going on when she's seizing. And I talk to her grandma almost daily, and they always thank me, and I always tell them, please don't thank me, because the thanks goes to God. The thanks goes to Christ. I am just being used as a vessel. And God has put in my heart to intercede. And I am what the Bible says. I am filthy rags. And I know that. But I want to serve you, and I want to be a servant for the rest of my life. For a few years in the beginning of my terminal illness, I was angry at you.
Of course.
And I had a near-death experience, and after that experience, I knew that when I woke up, I needed to talk to you. And for the last few years, I've been saying, what is it you want me to do? Because I have a nurse here that takes care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying, in my illness, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but now I have found what you want me to do.
It has given you perspective. So that brings us to your call this morning. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to know, in my prayer last night, I write my prayer online.
Mm-hmm.
And in my prayer, I come humbly before your throne. And I'm asking, you know, I know there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Indeed.
And I guess what I'm asking is that you're our great petitioner. We come to you. And I'm just wondering if you could petition to your Father.
It has been done. Every time you...
completely restored of what the devil has taken from her.
But, Donna, it's not always quite that simple, and you know this.
Yeah, I do, because I'm terminally ill. And
yes, people die. every Christian will die.
Yeah.
That will be every human will die.
Right.
It's part of the life process.
Absolutely.
In this way.
Absolutely.
The victory over death was not over physical death, but over spiritual death.
Right.
When it talks about, by my stripes, by my wounds, you will be healed.
Right.
It's talking about spiritual healing, not physical healing.
And I feel like, for me, what I've told my family is, if Christ decides not to heal me on earth, I know the moment I pass away, I'm healed.
Indeed.
I know it. So I don't fear death, because I know that I'm going to be better.
As well, you shouldn't. It's interesting that when in Scripture, in Psalms 23, where it talks about being in the shadow of death,
mm-hmm.
though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
right.
I shall fear no evil.
Exactly.
The interesting thing is that it doesn't talk about death as an actual tangible. In Scripture, quite often, it's about five times it refers to death as the shadow of death.
Right.
And when it comes to pain, and obviously, Donna, when you see somebody, a young girl, when you see anyone in pain, it's horrible. When you see a young girl in pain or a young child in pain, it causes even greater confusion. Why, God, would you do this? Would you allow it? But these things are all tied into God's will. Not that it is the will of God that people should get sick. That is the process of humanity. That is a necessity under the combination of having sin enter the world and these things that separate man from God. In that process, man understands the temporal nature of life and the fact that it is fleeting. Man should also understand the preciousness and importance of it every moment. There is no guarantee whatsoever on earth. The healing that it talks about in Scripture really focuses on dealing with spirituality, although there are physical ailments that are healed, both in Scripture and modern day, believe it or not. But really, everything focuses back on God's will and God's timing. Not everything pleasurable is good. Not everything painful is bad. And there are things to be learned, and that you pray because God calls you to pray in times like this. You intercede because God calls you to intercede. The outcome is not yours. The outcome isn't even your concern. Nor should it be. The outcome is God's. You pray because it's righteous to do, because God calls you to do it. If you go in looking for some sort of just for the healing, you believe in the healing, you believe for the healing, you pray for the healing. But the healing is not about you. It's about God. So that perspective of going in, that it can't be, as Scripture says, that you don't lend money with the belief that you're going to get it back. Because anybody can do that. Anybody can lend money with the belief they're going to get it back. Lending with the belief that you won't get it back is what God calls you to. So when you give not to receive anything, even if it's for someone else. Because that is for God to decide. And it's not always going to be what you want. It's not always going to go down the way you want it to go down. You have to see God's glory in even the pain of a child, as it turns the holy stomach of God to see pain in his creation. God doesn't look at the temporal, not looking at every tiny little thing the same way man does. God looks at the big picture. And at the end of the story, and the end of the story for those who believe is a much different and better picture.
Remember, more importantly than all the ugliness and the weight of the world that you hear every day, every week, are the simplicity of these words. I am with you, always.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.